Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is saying that everything that man speaks, it will be accounted for in the judgment of God. God knows everything. He hears it all. And that should send a little bit of terror into our hearts. And so it should. But as he goes on to this teaching, he's announcing some very tender words that I'm wondering if you've picked up on.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 12 begins with another one of Messiah's hard sayings. It's a passage on fearing God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When All Else Fails.
When All Else Fails, Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 in the Bible there. If you'll mark that spot, Jesus is going to speak to them some very, very strong, convicting, but comforting words. And we do well to pay close attention. It says there that in the meantime, verse 1, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark, it will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, it will be proclaimed on the housetops. But I say to you, verse 4, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and afterward have no more than that they can do to you. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? That is the sparrows. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of God, that's Jesus speaking of himself, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes or speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues, magistrates, or the authorities, do not worry about or what you should answer or what you should say. Verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Why is Jesus saying this now? Verse 1 there announces, makes a very important little statement. In the meantime, or in the meanwhile, some of your Bibles say. Meaning what? In all of the events of chapter 11, and it was a tremendous chapter. Chapter 11, Jesus is doing great miracles. He's instructing his disciples about prayer. Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God, all in the presence of enemies. Yes, there were those hearing. Obviously, a great multitude was listening. But Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom of God, and the enemies were those who were of the organized religious group. They were against him. They were attacking. They were trying to undermine. They even sought how they might kill him by catching him in his words and getting him arrested and then condemning him to death. In the midst of all that Jesus was doing, you would think that people would have laid down their garments and lifted their hands in praise and said, thank you, God of heaven and earth, for sending us your Son. You would have thought their hearts would have swung wide open to believe in him. And church, this is an amazing thing about what Jesus is announcing. Because number one is the fact that what we say, you know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of our mouths is what's in our hearts. We don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that. When we say things, look, when we say things that are sweet and wonderful and great, then that's fine. But have you ever had something be blurted out of your mouth and you wish that you could just catch it before it went into somebody's ears? We've all had that happen. You look at me so piously right now. I know you have. We've all done that. And Jesus is saying that everything that man speaks, it will be accounted for in the judgment of God. God knows everything. He hears it all. And that should send a little bit of terror into our hearts. And so it should. But as he goes on to this teaching, he's announcing some very tender words that I'm wondering if you've picked up on. As we've looked at chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 last time together, it is important this morning that you understand something here. Is there a day of judgment? Yes. For believer and non-believer alike. For the believer, it's not a day of judgment determining your residence in heaven or not. That was settled. Has nothing to do with being evicted from heaven. That was taken care of. The believer will go through a judgment as to what did we do after having come to Christ in our bodies in this life for the glory of God. Did we invest in the kingdom of God? And I don't mean money. I don't mean money only. Our resources, our time, our energy. Are we committed to the things of God? Do we take Jesus Christ seriously and what the Bible has to say? In other words, Jesus is saying to us, I don't want you to be like those religious hypocrites, these people who are attacking, judging everybody. We've called them before in times past, sin sniffers and fault finders. He says, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to know me. I don't want you to be involved in religion. I want you to be involved in a relationship with me. And you're going to hear this in a moment as he announces to his disciples about a friendship. He wants us to be friends with him. So wait a minute, Jack, what are you saying? I thought we're supposed to be in fear of him, technically not scared of him. The word fear means in reverential awe. We are to be in awe of God, yes. But we're to be his friend and he wants to be our friend, yes. There's a holy balance that meets head on that makes for a relationship between the Savior and those he has saved, those he has extended his life and love and salvation to. And so, as we looked at this before, Christian, when all else fails, where do we go? What do we do? You know, I got to tell you, when I was given this message last time together with you, I had no idea that I would be the one failing in a matter of an hour. You know, I was talking about when all else fails. Remember, our God is all-knowing, verses 1 and 3, 1, 2, 3 there. And I talked about also compassion. I talked about God being so kind and gentle to us. And when I love how kind the Lord is to us, but when we're sick, when we're wounded, I told you guys, I said, remember, if you're sick or wounded, or if you're hurting, you want a doctor who cares for you, who's gentle. You want to have a nurse who's very, very kind to you. I just didn't know that I would be with a doctor and a nurse. How God causes us to live the messages he gives us, huh? Number one thing we saw last time, and we'll just glean over it, is remembering that our God knows all. Jesus is announcing that regarding judgment and this life here and now, that he knows everything. That God even knows about the sparrows that fall from the sky. And in that, we remember this, that he knows our hearts. We saw that in verses 1 and 2, that God knows our hearts. There's nothing hidden from him. We saw in verse 3 also that we remember that he knows our life, the very life that he's given us. So how should we be responding to that? That God knows everything, and so we can rest in him. Thirdly, we saw that he knows what motivates us, the motive of why we do what we do. He said in verse 3, what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms, that's a whisper. Hey, do you know what? He says it's going to be proclaimed from the housetops. Jesus is warning us. Now remember, in the mixed multitude of those who were listening, there were his disciples standing there. There were also those who didn't want anything to do with him. And there were those who wanted to actually attack him. And then secondly, we saw that we need to rest. Not only remember verses 1 to 3, but verses 4 to 7, to rest. Rest. Our God is in all places. Jesus is announcing to us also in verses 4 to 7 that God is present. The psalmist, King David, wrote, "Where can I flee from your presence?" Now, normal mind would be thinking, why would you want to flee from God's presence? You don't want to flee from God's presence unless you have something to hide, right? What did Jonah? Remember, Jonah was in the presence of God. What did Jonah do? He went down to Joppa, got on a boat, and he tried to take off, heading towards Spain, Tarshish, that region of the world, to run from God. He had a great theological understanding come upon him. God is in the Mediterranean. God is in a merchant vessel. God's there. So then Jonah thinks, guys, throw me overboard. The reason why the storm is the way that it is, all this stuff is happening, because the fact of the matter is, it's my fault. I'm not listening to my God. I'm disobeying him. If you throw me over, everything's going to be fine. And that was kind of a sad moment. You guys remember the story. They were kind of arguing. They didn't want to throw him over. They went down to drawing straws. And over the side goes Jonah. The storm ceases immediately. What else does Jonah find out in this theological journey? That not only did the Lord prepare a great fish to swallow him, but while he was in the belly of that great fish, God began to speak to him. God is in the belly of a great fish. God is everywhere. Notice this. Please don't misunderstand me. God is not everything. The trees are not God. The rocks are not God. But God is everywhere. You can't run from him. Do you feel like today you've run from him? Or do you feel like today you've lived your life distanced from God, that you don't know him, that you have some salt and pepper seasoning, as it were, of religion, but you can't say you really know him? Oh, yes, you cry out to him when things go rough, when the earth begins to shake or the fires come too close. You call out to God, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't consult him. You're not looking to him. You're not in his word to get his direction. Jesus is not condemning you this morning. He's saying, I want you to get away from that because that's pure religion, and I want you to come and find a pure relationship in me and with me. And so he speaks these tremendous things, and he also encourages us that we can rest in the midst of suffering. We can rest. Verses 4 through 5, note it with me, and this is where we kind of want to hang for just a little bit here, because it is so incredibly tender. And I say to you, notice your Bible, the letters are written in red. It's the voice of God. My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and afterward have no more that they can do unto you. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, capital H in your Bible. In the Greek, it's a reference to the deity of God. Fear God, who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. What is Jesus announcing? That number one, as a believer, we can rest. Oh, Christian, I want you to do this because it's meaningful and it's powerful. When God says rest, you know the word in the Hebrew, peace or rest, interchangeable, shalom. It's the greeting, shalom. Be at rest, be at peace, peace to you, rest to you. It is the will of God that you and I experience the rest or the peace of God. Listen, this world is pressuring us constantly to not know anything about that. You guys, look, I was, yesterday, we were driving somewhere, and there was a Whole Foods market. Now, I don't think we have any of those around here, but I guess, apparently, a lot of people like Whole Foods market because we couldn't find a parking space, and once we got in there, you couldn't find a place to walk through the store, and I'd never been in a Whole Foods market before. Why did I go in there? Because Lisa and Rebecca had said, oh, they've got great stuff. Stuff? I'm into stuff. Let's go look. I didn't know what kind of stuff they were going to... I walk in, first thing on the right-hand sign are these shoes that are environmentally friendly. Well, that's nice. And they're made with all the natural stuff. And well, that's great. They look so comfortable. I'm squeezing the sole of them. Wonderful shoes. $150 for these slipper-type shoes? Not so economically friendly. I put them back, looking and see all these teas. Now, if you're into teas, you got to look at this place because they got tea for your liver. They got tea for your kidneys. They got teas for your eyes. They got teas for your feet. They had teas if you're a male, teas if you're a female. Literally, I'm not kidding. They had teas for everything. They had one tea that says tea to be gorgeous. That was the name of it. Of course, I grabbed that and looked at that. Has something to do with your skin. We invest so much into now, is it healthy for me? Is it safe for me? I don't want to eat this stuff anymore because the latest findings have proven that. So I want to eat and drink and breathe these things. Because why? Because we're thinking about care. We're thinking about health. We're thinking about life and thinking about preserving and living a healthy life longer. That's great. And may God use our healthy lives longer for His glory. But the truth of the matter is, if we spend our whole life shopping at Whole Food markets and being very careful and never come to know the God who made the soul that dwells within us, we may have the healthiest body in the graveyard, but our soul is departed into hell. And Jesus said, you don't want to go there. The Bible says that hell was created for Satan and his demonic angels. It was never made for humans. God doesn't want us to be there. Jesus went to the cross to die there for us in our place so that we would never have to go. And the Bible makes it very clear that trusting in Him, and I know that sounds, you know, it sounds so simple, but to a man or a woman who is struggling with control, that's one of the hardest things to hear. Who's in control? Is it the Lord? Or are we trying to control? Listen to what Jesus says. Maybe this will help you in letting go. He's there in the midst of suffering. He's promised, and He is. And in John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That happens throughout every generation, and it's a noble thing. It's a tremendously powerful thing. But listen to verse 14. He says in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You see, well, Jack, I want to argue with you on that for just a moment. Jesus makes it conditional. What do you mean? He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, that's a very good argument you raise. But the word is not conditional, because in the Greek, the word if you do as I command also is translated since you do as I command. Scholars will argue back and forth as to the meaning of the if. Is it since, if we're his friends, and since that's true, we will do what he says? Or we'll be his friends if we do these things? Then he comes right back and says, you're no longer servants of mine, you're friends of mine. That's what Jesus says to us. So then which is it? Oh, the very scripture answers it itself. I am not speaking to you as servants, then it would be an if. In other words, you work for me. You will do this. Our natural response to that would be, that's because I'm your servant. Jesus ruled that out. I'm not speaking to you as servants. Well, then we would come back and say, well, how much are you going to pay me then? It's not about that. It's the understanding of the word since. You are my friends. Since that's true, you will do what I've commanded you. How can that be so? How can we be certain? Because, listen, you cannot have a friend that you hate. You may have a friend that you're upset with. You may have a friend that you have to go make up with. Jesus is calling us friends. He's reaching out to us, and he's saying, listen, here's the deal. We're in the family now. My blood, my message, the gospel has brought you into the family. I call you friends. And that is to be a love relationship. When we look at these things, How do you read this portion of Scripture? How do you read these verses? Oh, I'm in trouble because of the things I've whispered in secret in the inner chamber, and it's going to be shouted from the... Listen, every one of us is guilty of that. Don't panic, give up, and quit. Rather, surrender and say, Lord, forgive me. There are things, Lord, that I have said in secret that I never want to announce from any housetop. By the way, next time you go with us to Israel, you'll see exactly what Jesus was talking about. It's never changed. When someone goes up, they spend all their time on the housetop. They're flat roofs. They have their barbecues up there. They have chairs, palm trees. They sit down. It's awesome. It's Mediterranean life. They're sitting there, and when somebody says something, your neighbor can hear you because those houses are close together. And what you say in the what you say somewhere else, when it says about speaking it from the housetop, you don't have to shout it too loud, and it's going to go a long way. Does that terrify you? Are you convicted by that? You should be. I am. So then what should we do? Lord, forgive me. See, if he's our friend and we are friends of the Lord, we have a relationship, and this is what it means. He says and speaks to us these words of love. My concern for you is like that of my father caring for sparrows, the most numerous bird on the planet. Sparrows, I guess, in the ecosystem are hatched and given to the animal kingdom for other animals to eat. Sparrows. If you come to my backyard, you will literally see that happen. I have bird feeders all over the backyard, and there's birds everywhere. It sounds like a jungle paradise. And then at least once a day, we have a resident that lives in our trees. He's called a sharp-shin hawk. And he comes through and he gets as many sparrows as he needs during the course of the day. You say, well, that's mean. I don't know if it's mean or not. I think the hawk's got to eat like the sparrow. I provide the seed. The sparrows come and the hawk dips his beak to me in thankfulness. That's up to God, but God cares. And you might be saying this morning, well, am I a friend of God? I don't know. Are you? Here's the telling moment. Is it your desire to do what he's commanded you to do? Is that what you want to do? Yes, Jack, but listen, yes, it is, but I fail so miserably. I may have 10 things that God's given me to do, and I got 3 of them, and I failed on the next 2, and I got the next one, and I don't know how the others are going to go. Listen, I understand that struggle, but let me encourage you. Do you remember before you were a Christian, you never had that struggle at all?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When All Else Fails. A look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 12, part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we don't have to remind you of an important date in our nation's recent history, which is mere days away, and we have an event here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wherein we commemorate that infamous day. We're speaking, of course, about September 11th. And if you've wondered if perhaps there's some way for you to participate in an exercise or service, well, you're invited to join us here, either at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, or online if you're not in Southern California. Either way, on Saturday, September 11th, we'll hold our 9/11 service, which will also air live on hischannel.com. And, of course, we've provided a link to hischannel.com from our own calvaryCCH.org website. If you are local and need a map to our campus, that's provided as well. CalvaryCCH.org, and you'll know exactly where to point and click. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.